This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
And now, non-eBay store subscribers can actually put volume pricing on their listings.
So it's open to everyone.
2 days is either infinitely too fast, or is 1.9 days too slow.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace, and that would be eBay. And this is episode 81. Well, Alan, welcome back.
Thanks, Griff.
So how was the 2 weeks in Ireland?
Well, thanks for asking. It was really nice. We brought our one-year-old son back for his first birthday party. So he got to meet some friends and family who hadn't met him before, and cousins, and it was a really nice celebration. But you know, the weather was terrible, as you'd expect.
Ireland in February.
Right? Yeah, two storms back to back.
They were big enough to have names.
They were. Yeah. Storm Ciara and Storm Dennis came to greet us on our trip. But the good news is I'm back and I'm enjoying the California sunshine.
Yeah.
And looking forward to kicking off podcasting season for 2020.
Well, Brian did a great job, but I'm really glad you've decided to come back, because I'm always worried you're going to get there and say, you know what, I'm staying.
Nah, California is the place for me.
That's good to hear. Well, we're glad you decided to come back.
What's up for this episode?
Alan, we have two reports. In our first report, I sit down with our correspondent and eBay marketing manager, Jen Deal, to go over the recently announced 2020 Spring Seller Update. And although there isn't anything too earth-shattering in this update, there is a lot of small stuff and details, and we're going to try to cover it all in about 20 minutes.
And for our second report, we shadowed eBay's Senior Vice President of America's Marketplace, Jordan Sweetnam, as he spoke somewhat off the cuff to a group of sellers here on campus recently at the San Jose eBay Seller Meetup event.
Yeah, only two segments, but they're really long and really extensive. So
let's not waste another minute. Up next is the 2020 Spring Seller Update.
Last week at eBay, we announced our Seller Update 2020, the first one.
That's right.
For 2020. And we thought we'd go over some of the questions that came over in the meantime. Some of them were pretty interesting. So to help us out is Jen Deal. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Griff. How are you?
I know that you're okay, because that all went off without a hitch.
It did. It did. The first Seller Update, we call that the Spring Seller Update for this year. There was a lot, actually. This is the most we've ever put into an update, but there was really nothing major. It was just a lot of some things that we've already rolled out. And so some sellers have already started to see them, you know, in the last few weeks. And then a lot of new features. So, you know, no like major tool rollout necessarily, but a lot of new updates within the ones that we have. And so I'd love to go through some of those.
Yeah, I thought we'd go through the overview of each of the updates and then get to the questions that have come in. So start us off. What's the first thing you want to talk about?
Yeah. So one quick line about how we organize the update this time. We heard a lot of feedback from sellers in the last update, and last couple updates actually, that they wanted it to be a little bit more seller friendly. So the way we have it organized, and if you want to keep me on track, is that we have different sections that should be pretty intuitive to sellers. So the first one I'll go through is updates to how you list. And in this section, we really just kind of keep sellers on the updates, like the actual news. There's things that we always do.
Yeah.
And this is part of that section. And things we always do are things like tidying up the categories. So starting in May this year, we'll be seeing some changes in the categories of business and industrial, watches, home and garden, and sporting goods.
Okay.
Again, nothing major there, just some additions coming in, removals going out, renaming, and things like that.
Good. Okay.
The other thing we did in this section, we continue down the journey of item specific. So all throughout 2019, we talked about rolling out required item specifics in different categories and needing to add those required item specifics to your new and revised listings. And so we're continuing that. We have more categories where we're adding item specifics that are both required and recommended. There's enhancements, I guess you can call them enhancements. There's more detail there. But what we've done this time is that we actually make it easier for sellers to figure out what those are before they even get into the listing, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
So there's a couple places in Seller Hub where you're going to see this. You're going to see it under Quick Tasks I've blended them too. I'm just so excited about this. Sorry, guys. We've seen it under...
She's literally shaking with excitement.
Maybe it's like I didn't drink coffee today. I can't even blame it on coffee. Okay, so let's slow down a bit. So the two places you're going to see item specifics that are required before you get into listings are on your tasks, which is on your overview page of Seller Hub. Mm-hmm. And we have like a little task list. And then you can see them in quick filters. And so quick filters are those little bubbles on your active listing page at the top that give you literally like quick filters. And so those are the two places there. And here's a little tip, because this is actually a question we got a lot of yesterday is, I don't see it. You know, so it wasn't really a question. It was an observation that sellers were coming to the boards and telling us. And the tip there is, if you don't see it, you don't have them.
So we're rolling them out.
Yeah. So we are still rolling them out. But ultimately, if you don't actually have any missing required
items
specific, you're just not going to see them.
So you're golden.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we saw a few use cases like that. So I wanted to bring that up and let everybody know.
Yeah.
The other thing that's rolling out in terms of new things happening in Seller Hub is in the Terapeak Research tab. So that's a tab we added last year. It's called Research. It's where we've integrated the Terapeak features. And so that product continues to be integrated into Seller Hub. So a lot of new features there that we're bringing in. Why we're doing that is because Terapeak.com is actually going to be turned off.
Deactivated.
Yeah, deactivated. Yeah. Thank you. It's a good word. So it'll be deactivated soon. And so we are putting everything that was on that site into the research tab in Seller Hub.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know what Terapeak is, it's been around for a very long time. It uses recent eBay supply, demand, and pricing information to help you figure out what to sell, when to sell it, and how to price it, and even if you need to provide free shipping or not.
Cool.
Based on what the competitors are doing.
So this was part of the plan.
Yeah.
So when eBay purchased Terapeak, that eventually it would be totally assimilated into eBay and that the standalone website would be end of lifed. So
that's right.
Okay.
That's right. And a couple calls here. We love the feedback that comes in from the sellers, especially on the day of the update, because it's live, right? It's happening. And so a lot of people were bummed out that it's not on mobile. And it's not on mobile.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. There used to be an app a long time ago before we owned Terapeak.
Right, yeah.
And actually, not a lot of people used it. I think also people weren't quite as savvy on mobile. So we don't have it on mobile. Seller Hub is not on mobile. But you can, if you use the classic site on your web or your browser, go to eBay, you can, and that's how you access Seller Hub. That's how you would do
it. Yeah, it's a few more clicks, but it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then the other cool thing that's happening, and this again started a little bit last year, we introduced multi-user account access last year.
Yes.
And this time we are giving sellers that are using multi-user account access the ability to also give access to their staff or their employees or to other people to access orders. Last year, we rolled out that you could multi-user access for listings. So you could have other people help you with your listings.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can give limited access to the orders page.
Which is important if you're fulfilling orders.
That's right. Totally. Yeah. You can give this to users such as people, you know, that work in your warehouse, and they'll have read-only access to orders and they'll know what needs to be shipped.
Oh, I know somebody's going to love that. He's listening right now.
Oh, nice, nice.
Although he has access to my account, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, yeah. But for sellers, you know, that want some privacy in other areas, this is a great new feature that we've rolled out.
That's cool. So the multi-user access feature continues to expand as promised.
That's right.
Great.
That's right. Speaking about expanding, this might be interesting for sellers out there. We have always had this feature called volume pricing, and always meaning the last few updates ago, we announced volume pricing, where you can incentivize buyers to purchase two or more identical items at one time. So for example, if you want to buy two phone cases of the exact same kind because you really love it and you need a backup, you can offer a discount of like 10% off two. And we used to only offer that to store subscribers. And now non-eBay store subscribers can actually put volume pricing on their listings.
So it's open to everyone.
It's open to everyone.
That's good because it's so successful. We don't want to cage this in just for store owners.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I think that's going to be a cool one.
Now, this next one is the one that everyone's been waiting for since last year when we announced it at eBay Open. So I'll give you the honors.
Oh,
tell us what it is.
Thank you. This is the ability to clean up the backgrounds from your photos instantly. It is otherwise known as image cleanup. If you were at eBay Open, I want to be sure you understand what we're talking about. It's a new photo editing feature that allows you to change any photo background to white. And the reason why this is awesome is that your photos just look cleaner. And we do recommend that at least that first one is on a white background because the search visibility on Google, and not just on eBay, but on Google, if you've got that white background, you really see some more visibility around that product. And so that's amazing for sellers. And the cool thing when we actually started to roll this out is we not only allowed you the ability to photo or to edit that first photo, but you can do all of them.
If you want.
If you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's out there and it's out there for—
As of today.
Yeah. For Android and iOS.
Great. So if you're a Windows Phone user, you're out of luck, but you've been out of luck for over a couple of years now.
So, That's right. But it'll, you know, it's really
cool. What about my BlackBerry?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is a great feature. I know people have been waiting for this. So
I was really
impressed when I saw it in the demo, and I'm glad now we've actually rolled it out.
Yeah, I know iOS had access to it a little earlier, and sellers that were getting really excited about it and already talking about it on social channels. So everybody has access to it now. You take the photos on your mobile app, so that is the only way that you have access to that feature,
exactly,
that editing feature. But you can take the photos, edit it, and you can actually finish the whole thing, your listing, on your desktop. So
all you need to do is just open the app. The feature is built into the latest update to the app.
That's right.
Make sure you update your apps.
That is a great tip, Griff. Yeah.
Well, that's how you list. What's the other major category? Let me guess. It must have something to do with, shipping?
Perhaps? That's right. Updates to how you ship. So updates to how you ship. Our major, major call out here is something that we actually rolled out a couple of weeks ago. And we did a targeted rollout. So I know I got some feedback from sellers that said, I don't understand why I didn't hear about this. And the reason why is because you may not be that big of an international shipper. You know, if you're doing just a couple packages a year, you're not in the initial group. But we started to roll out what is called eBay International Standard Delivery. And it's a new international shipping service now available to all U.S. sellers who are using eBay labels. We deliver to over 210 countries. And I call that out because it's more than many other services will offer, including a couple of our own other services like global shipping.
Yes, I was going to ask, and I will afterwards, what's the difference?
Yeah.
But I'll hold off and listen to you while you talk about this.
See, you're a seller because you already have the same questions that we got. So we'll definitely get to that.
And I hear these questions too, so that helps.
That's true. So with international standard delivery, you have simplified pricing. You actually do get tracking end to end. You have your usual USPS pickup and drop off. So that's what's kind of cool about this is you really don't have to change anything except what you print on your label. I could today, if I had a listing and somebody from the UK purchased it, I could just select eBay International Standard Delivery, print the label, put it on the box, take it to the post office or have them pick it up. And I'm golden, as you said earlier.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And so that's what's really nice about it. Now, I know you wanted to ask me a question.
Well, also about shipping protection.
Oh, okay. Shipping protection. So we do offer shipping protections on these. You have protection for loss and damage, and then you are also protected on your feedback and defects if standards in general, if something happens to the item.
Goes missing, for example.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to know. So my big question again is, how does this differ from global shipping, and do they work together, or is it either or?
That's a great question, Griff, and very popular question also. So eBay International Standard Delivery is a delivered duties unpaid shipping solution, which means buyers won't pay duties and tax at checkout on eBay, but they might have to pay that to the carrier for, you know, when they get the item.
Right. Depending on the type of item, the value, the laws of the country, et cetera.
That's correct. For global shipping program, that's the opposite. It's a delivery duties paid program. And so buyers are paying duties and tax during checkout on eBay.
Right.
Okay. For really what to think about is that eBay International Standard Delivery gives the seller full control of what you want to charge buyers for shipping, whether it's free, flat, or calculated from end to end.
Well, that's cool. International Standard Delivery, yet another shipping option. There are many sellers use the global shipping program. There are some that would prefer not to. They want to control the shipping. This gives them another option.
That's correct.
What else is on the shipping news?
A couple things. We had a reminder that we announced, and that is that FedEx Home Delivery reduced their rates this year. And we just really remind sellers about this because those rates are great. They are lower than they were in 2019. And if you're not familiar with FedEx Home Delivery, it's designed for customers who want those fast, convenient deliveries to their homes Saturday and Sunday, comes at no standard cost. So for sellers, this is really just another option for shipping. other than some of the ones that are more popular.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's another option.
Yeah. And then an important one that we announced is that, and a feature actually that we built in to our tools, is that we will let you know, you the sellers, know when you're missing item, location, zip codes.
Does that still happen?
It does. No, it actually happens quite a bit. And actually what I'm going to say is, here's a side note. If you think your zip code is out of date, like you moved recently.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
Yeah, make sure you change that too. Yeah. Because zip codes play a critical role in search visibility and sales conversion. And here's why. They're used in location filters. So when a buyer needs to understand where the inventory is located and they're making purchase decisions on that, if you don't have a zip code in there, we can't tell them anything. Zip codes also provide more accurate estimated delivery times. Also really important, right?
Yeah,
as a buyer,
important.
If you happen to have a gift that you're purchasing and you need it by a certain date or an event, you need to know that, where that item is or when it can be available to you.
Okay, that's good to know. And we're going to start letting sellers know if there's listings in their current listed inventory where there's item, where there's zip codes missing.
That's right. So in the active listings tab in Seller Hub, we will prompt you to let you know that certain items have zip codes missing. And
will I be able to add them on that page? Because that would be pretty easy, right? I know we do a lot more inline editing.
Yeah, so. We do a lot of inline editing through bulk. I'm actually not sure about zip codes.
Okay, we'll check on that.
Yeah, because I think that's your back end, right? It's not necessarily in the listing. It's your account profile.
Well, some people have more than one zip code, depending on where their locations
are. So good call out. This doesn't apply if you have multiple warehouse locations.
Oh, so it's just one zip. So you just go in and put the zip code. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Makes sense. Okay. What else in this shipping column? I'm looking ahead, and boy, oh boy, it goes on and on. So
actually, our next section that we're going to talk about is updates to how you serve as a customer, but there's some of it that relates to shipping.
Okay.
And let's continue that, but know that we're really talking about how you're servicing a customer or the ways that you're working with a customer. So the first thing is that we have seller protection changes for item not received claims. Underneath that umbrella, here's a couple call outs for you all.
Okay.
The marketplace, eBay. We're the marketplace.
Yeah.
As the marketplace, I think everyone knows we have a money back guarantee program for our buyers. And so there's a few changes here. Starting June 1st, you as the seller are required to use our shipping carriers that are integrated with eBay and provide regular shipment scans. Here's the thing. All of the major carriers are included on that list.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Don't worry about it. If you're using labels, for example, don't have to worry about this. If you're using USPS, FedEx, UPS, you're covered. There are a number of carriers out there, though, if you're using different services like couriers or some more regional services. This is where you may be using someone who's not providing eBay with a shipment scan.
Basically,
we want to, you know, we have a list. The list is available to all of you in Seller Center. We want you to use one of those carriers so that we basically get that scan.
Okay.
And that's it. So it's not really a huge deal, but we put it out there that you really need to have those scans in there. The other thing is we have some changes to handling return requests that appear to be abandoned. So what that means is sometimes a buyer opens up a request to return something and it never comes back to you. They never ship it.
Yeah, maybe they changed their mind and they decided they'll keep it after mm-hmm. all. Yeah.
Exactly. So starting in April, we actually will no longer close returns early at the request of the seller. And I know, and I've had this happen to me many times that, you know, again, you're waiting for the buyer to ship something back, nothing's coming back. So what we're doing instead is we're waiting to ensure the buyer has sufficient time to provide proof the items they requested to return are going to be shipped back. And so we're kind of looking at what their behaviors are. We're looking at, did they print the return label? That's kind of an indication that there's something coming back and we want to give them time to make sure that happens. If we don't receive proof of shipment from your buyers while the return requests are active, we're going to protect you from any negative feedback that may come in from that buyer because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some follow-up questions around this one, Griff, because sellers wanted to know what is the amount of time that we give the buyers.
Yeah, because you didn't even mention a time window there.
Right, we didn't. So here's the answer. So when buyers are sent an eBay generated return label, the return label is closed if the label is not printed in 10 days. And that's 10 business days. So I know that's a long time. It's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks, yeah.
Yep. If the buyer prints the label, we allow the return window to remain open an additional 5 business days.
Makes sense.
To ensure the shipping scans are captured. right? And then when the buyers are not sent an eBay-generated return label, so it's not coming from our platform, we don't have visibility to that, we'll wait up to 35 business days before closing the return.
There's another good reason to use labels on eBay.
It is. It is. And if sellers are calling in and asking why it's so long, I don't have the answer to that question. You know, there's a lot to unpack there, I think, in terms of what the categories are and ways of returning and things like that. But
cool.
Today, I'm not sure. I just have the days that we have.
Well, that we know that then.
Yeah.
So that's better to know than not know.
Correct.
What's next on this long list?
This is always an exciting category to cover. Okay, so changes to handling item not as described return requests for all sellers means that eBay money back guarantee requires today that sellers respond within 3 business days when buyers are requesting to return items that they feel don't match the listing descriptions, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the seller and you're not responsive, we may refund that buyer and seek reimbursement from you without requiring the buyer to ship the item back.
Oh.
And that's part of the money back guarantee program.
So you want to respond.
That's right. I was going to say, the bottom line is respond within 3 business days.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Changes to handling item not as described return requests for international sellers.
Mm.
So this is not so much, if you're a U.S. seller only, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a seller in Canada, Asia, Europe, Latin America, or anywhere else in the world, this applies to you. Really, what we're saying here is we recommend that the international sellers targeting U.S. buyers with their listings on eBay.com, they should be providing their buyers with a return address in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
That is our recommendation. When you don't provide a U.S. return address and your buyer requests to return the item that doesn't match the listing, in their opinion, then you need to accept the return and provide the means to return the item within 3 business days.
Again, this is non-U.S. sellers.
This is non-U.S. sellers, and it's actually the same rule. So basically, if a buyer is opening a return request, respond in 3 business days and give them a way to send that back.
It's an easy rule.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and out of courtesy, you should respond.
Yeah.
Unless you do what I do, which is you automatically accept all returns. That's the best response in the world.
That is an easy way to do it. Yeah. Another change that we have for sellers is that there are new protections against buyers you previously blocked.
Mm.
Okay, so this is a sort of a significant one, even though it doesn't happen often,
right,
or even sometimes. It's a rare occurrence, but you as a seller can now cancel a transaction from a buyer you've previously blocked if they purchase another item from you. And as part of that, we'll protect you from any defects or feedback.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, begs the question, I don't know if we have the answer. Is that the same user ID, or what if it's a buyer who uses a second user ID and it's obvious from the address that they're trying to purchase?
That also applies. So when you identify a buyer who shares the same name or shipping address with a previously blocked account or is engaged in the same abusive behavior, you can cancel the transaction.
Oh, that's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah. One of the other things that we also have available to sellers that's been around for a little bit now, a few months, but we really wanted everyone to know, because with all of the changes in terms of policy that I just covered and mm-hmm. how you service your customers, here is a great convenient location where you can manage some of this on your own, like things like responding immediately. You don't have to necessarily email a buyer on the email account. You don't have to call customer service. You can go to Seller Help.
Where's that?
So Seller Help, the best way to get there is if you're on any of the eBay pages, at the very top of the page, there's Help and Contact.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yep. If you click through, it takes you to the Help pages.
Right.
But right in there at the top of that, we recognize who you are because you're logged in to see that. That's where Seller Help lives.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Good. So I just click Help and I'll find Seller Help.
That's right. You're going to use Seller Help for self-servicing things like managing refunds, returns, item not received and item not as described cases, right? That you can go in, you can click on the product, you can click on those requests, and you can actually help manage and facilitate that immediately and all of them right there.
That's
which
so
is
cool.
Great. Yeah.
Like it.
You can also submit requests to eBay to review feedback and defects for removal. You can see recent policy notifications, including anything that went wrong and what you need to do to correct an issue.
Mm.
And then you can report buyers who are abusing eBay policies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a negative feedback a couple months ago, but I don't want eBay to take it off, because the last one I got, they took it off. It must have qualified, so they took it off automatically.
Uh-huh.
But I want it. I want that negative.
Why?
Well, one, it shows that anyone can get a negative. Yeah. Plus, I was able to write a response that I think says more about me than the negative.
I see.
I don't want that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's all the seller protection ones.
Yes.
Whoa, this is a slog. All right,
so. I told you, there were a lot of little things that we rolled out this time. So It was quite a lengthy update, but no major changes, just some reminders, some things to know.
Let's go through the next pretty quickly.
Yeah. So next is updates to how you promote. We only have one thing under this particular section, and this is really an enhancement to the offer to buyers feature that we rolled out last year.
Which is wildly successful.
Wildly successful. So what we've done now is that you are able to send even more offers to more buyers.
Like negotiations?
So the actual offers themselves. So it's the same thing. It's, when you have watchers, for example, on your listing and you hit offer to buyers, before you could only really send to 10. Let's say you had 100 watchers on an item.
Oh, I wish.
Right. Multi-SKU item, lots of quantity. You had 100 watchers on it. You would hit that button and before you'd hit 10 of them. Now you get 40 of them.
Oh, yeah. Four times as much.
Four times as many. So
quadruple the fun.
That's right. So you can reach more buyers that way. The other thing is you actually can do lower minimum discounts. And this is one that I am a fan of because I have some higher ASP items. The minimum discount you could offer when we first rolled this out was 5%.
Right.
And when you have a low margin or you have a really expensive item, that actually equates to quite a high dollar amount.
Yes.
So what we've changed is we're reducing the minimum discount for items over $200. So that it's variable. So you can create what that discount is.
Is there a lower limit? Is it 1%?
I think it's 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, any percent off is, it's a percent off.
Right.
You can go out to eat for that.
That could be your shipment, for example.
True.
Right?
You could buy a new pair of socks.
You could buy socks to go with those $200 shoes.
There you go. Always thinking.
Use that noggin. Put volume pricing on the socks. Buy two pairs of socks.
Yeah.
Get a 10% discount. Yeah, you see how this works. Okay. And then the last thing under enhancements for offer to buyers is that you can do counter offers on your mobile device.
Go, brother.
That's awesome because you can close that sale while you're on the go or standing in line at Starbucks.
Or buying your new socks. It's a whirlwind, I tell you.
Yeah. Let's talk about the updates under the section, how you manage your financials. And really what this is, the major update here that we're talking about are payments. And I think all of our sellers now, or most of you, have heard a bit about our journey on moving to a different payments platform over the next few years.
eBay managed payments.
That's right. eBay managed payments. So we have new features when eBay is managing your accounts. And we're also in this update talking a little bit about the global expansion. So quick reminder again, and we have actually talked a lot already about some of the things we do for international sellers and the way to reach the international buyers. We are a global company. So part of the announcement this time is just that, hey, we are expanding payments globally. We're ready to go out into the other borders. Those sellers will start to see some invitations and information about payments. But for those in the U.S., here are the new features. If you're a payment seller, so there's not very many of you yet, but this is the year, again, where more of you are going to be brought into the program as part of that expansion. And when you get into payments, you're going to be able to now download your Form 1099 tax reports directly from Seller Hub. And so those are for transactions that occurred through payments. And so you'll see those reports. You will be able to now schedule your payouts. So with the new weekly deposits options, you can actually configure your payouts to deposit weekly, or you can continue to get your daily payouts.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. This is another cool thing. Global shipping program. So for a long time now, since we started with the payments, we weren't able to include sellers, or they weren't sellers that were in the program, could not use global shipping.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Has that changed?
That has changed. So sellers now are going to be able to ship internationally with global shipping program, if that's how you choose to ship internationally.
Starting now?
Starting now. Ish. So I think by the time we run this podcast, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So global shipping is part of payments now. And so you'll be able to use global shipping again if you haven't been for a little bit.
Hooray.
Yay. And then finally, you can also have your payments for shipping labels happen through payments, which is great. So you don't have to have two accounts being held and you won't have to go to PayPal separately to pay for your shipping labels. you can manage it all through the same way.
So right. So if you're in managed payments, you can choose if you have a PayPal account to keep taking the payments out of PayPal. Is that the idea?
That's right.
Or for domestic orders, at least. Or if you're in managed payments, you can just choose to have it deducted out of your pending payouts.
That's correct.
And if you just got paid and you're shipping with one day, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Okay, exactly. Great. Fantastic.
Cool. And then last but not least, updates to your user agreement. So a few things to call out. We, eBay, intend to manage payments for more sellers in more markets in the near future.
So we put that in the
user. We put that in the user agreement. We just talked about that, but we actually put it in the user agreement so everybody knows when they're signing on.
Right.
We also clarify which user agreement applies when you buy or sell in other countries.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a main user agreement, and then sometimes there's nuances based on the countries.
Yeah.
And if you sell in multiple countries, you'll now know which one applies to you.
Okay, good.
Okay. And then finally, we explain when we hold or restrict seller funds.
Oh, okay. So a little more detail.
A little more detail.
Some of the stuff that goes on behind, for example, behind payments, perhaps.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Well, Jen, I assume that's it.
That is it. That rounds out our spring seller update for 2020. It was meaty. It was meaty.
Yeah. We'll revisit this when we have our next update. And if you have questions about seller update and you want to address them on the podcast, you can always send an email to podcast@ebay.com, or you can call in a voice question on our voice line at 888-723-4630. That's 888-723-4630. We'd love to hear from you. Jen, I want to thank you so much. This has been a wonderful session.
Thank you.
And I guess you start to work on the next seller update right away.
Pretty much.
You do a good job. Thanks again.
Thanks, Griff.
So Jen Deal is a marketing manager on the seller engagement team, and she, as you know her from the podcast, she's a regular correspondent. Up next, we're going to hear a little bit from Senior Vice President Jordan Sweetnam, who gave an impromptu talk at a seller meetup here in San Jose recently. Stay tuned.
You hear us mention eBay seller community events a lot here on the podcast. These are seller-organized local events where eBay sellers can meet and share advice and stories with other eBay sellers. There is a local San Jose eBay seller meetup that has been meeting now for over 10 years. And last week, our Senior Vice President and General Manager, Markets Americas, Jordan Sweetnam, stopped by the meetup to have an off-the-cuff, candid conversation about eBay and what he's been thinking about when it comes to improving the marketplace. So let's listen in.
Special guest this evening with Jordan Sweetnam. Been at eBay only a short while right now, but prior to leaving a few years ago, he'd been 11 years at the company. So excited to have him back and leading the North America business. Jordan.
Thanks, Brad. So it's great to be here. So I joined October 2004. I joined eBay and was here through 2016. And then I went to Walmart for 3 years. Like, oh, crazy. But the truth is, I figured if I was going to compete to Amazon and lose, I was going to do that here. I was going to do that at Walmart. And it was an amazing experience. But I left because I actually wasn't really happy with where eBay was going and pointed. This is an incredible company. The danger with working here, as long as I've been here, there probably isn't a category I haven't shopped or collected in. I've got bins of NASCAR diecast, PBR buckles, comics, Fortune magazine, all these like crazy things. First purchase was in 2001. Got 1,211 feedback. Most of it selling before I left. It was a top-rated seller. Griff's tried to go to me a couple times into committing to be a top-rated seller again. And like the truth is, the bar is even higher now than it was when I left. But I really love eBay. What brought me back to eBay was, as I'm sure many of you know, like, there's some, like, a little bit of stuff going on here, and not all of it's like up and to the right in terms of the sales, and if you sell in different categories, you probably felt that. But man, there is so much potential. Amazon and Walmart are amazing companies. They are going toe-to-toe, and the retail apocalypse that you've probably seen in your towns and everything that's going on, that's going to continue. And like, the truth is, you know, we've had over 10,000 brick-and-mortar stores closed year-to-date in the U.S., and most of it are these, like, not-to-scale, regional, semi-national chains that just can't source at the cost of what Walmart and Amazon can do. And yet, for me, like, what's so amazing is, like, the more time I spent at Walmart, the more it gave me strength and conviction around all the things that I love about eBay, because that isn't us. That isn't what makes up all the amazing categories. And Amazon sells apparel. Walmart sells apparel. You sell apparel. what you're selling is not what Amazon and Walmart are sourcing by the boatload. I mean, I came back and we're talking about, you know, okay, well, how many TVs were selling in daily deals? I'm like, guys, on Black Friday, Walmart is literally selling 10,000 TVs per second. Under what scenario are we going to be able to source with our sellers and sell a new inbox 32-inch TV at a lower cost than Walmart and Amazon? Like, that's crazy. But we become obsessed as a company about trying to be someone that we were not. And then I think when you go and look at the categories where we actually have these amazing enthusiast groups on the site, and it's everything from parks to comics to collectibles. I bought a lot of tropical plants on eBay, and then I don't think anybody in the room here sells ladybugs, but there's a great ladybug seller in Northern California that I buy from because they keep my all the aphids and ladybugs off my palm trees. All of that, that's eBay. And so what I kind of, you know, came back and was excited to do is like, look, like if it can be mirrored across 5,000 stores, if it can be mirrored across hundreds of fulfillment centers, let Amazon and Walmart go at it. And then what does that do for us? A whole lot of GMV, a whole lot of sales. When we first started having this conversation, like, this is a little bit crazy. But if you do the math and you say, okay, look, like new in season retail, apparel, TVs, all that stuff, ignore that. And then you want to focus on all the categories that are awesome for eBay. Clearance, shelf pulls, N-1, refurbished, used. There's actually more total market volume there than there is in what's going on in the Amazon Walmart world. And then, you know, the reality is those segments are growing as fast or faster than the spaces that Amazon has been playing. But we just kind of weren't paying attention. And so there's all these startups and competitors playing in spaces that actually should be eBay, they shouldn't even exist. They've never gotten started. We kind of let that happen. All of that is kind of this roundabout way of me sort of describing, like, you know, why I came back, why I think there's so much opportunity here. And we've got tenured sellers, we've got people in the room that, you know, run businesses and left, we've got people who've been just, you know, longtime sellers on the platform. And probably one of the most common questions I get after, like, why did you actually come back? Is like, kind of the, like, you know, give us a reason to believe, because there's a lot of headlines that show how fast everybody else is growing. And when I look inside it, when I look at where we have potential, like, man, there's a lot of upside. But I don't think we've actually given ourselves permission to recognize what is the magic that is eBay. And so how are we going to start to differentiate our experience? Like, I joke, you know, for those of you who are top-rated seller in the room, you can probably describe requirements better than I can. Zero-day handling, two-day shipping. And one of the things I've been kind of joking on is, well, like, 2 days is either infinitely too fast or it's 1.9 days too slow. So I know we've got people who give a couple-hour drive from Sacramento, and the Bay Area for Prime Now is probably, like, you know, maybe next to Manhattan among the fastest in the country. But people now are just like, what? I'm not going to get it for free same day? And so, like, that's not really a logical competitive edge for us. And yet, I don't think when you're finding, like, the perfect it, the hard-to-find part, like, these things, you don't need to get zero-day handling and have it show up in 2 days. Like, you found the product at the right price. And so then I'm kind of like, well, why are we asking sellers to jump through these hoops that buyers actually don't even want in that category? It doesn't make any sense. From my side, on the business angle, a lot more focus on how we're going to make it more relevant retail standards for the categories in which you sell. If you are selling collectibles and comics, you know what? Some categories, like, actually no returns is the standard return policy. How do we think about actually changing what the shipping times need to look like? And it's not about the constant guardrailing. Are we solving for buyers? Are we solving for sellers? When I talk to buyers in these categories, none of these things are surprising for them. Like, they don't have an expectation of getting two-day shipping or getting returns in these categories. And so I don't think running a marketplace means somebody has to lose in the transaction. Like, we can actually create that balance.
Open up for some questions?
Sure, fire away.
Dave Martin, there was an announcement last year about managed delivery, and the light bulb went off in my head. Wow, eBay boxes showing up on doorsteps, and you're seeing eBay boxes on your neighbor's doorsteps. I could just see a bunch of people going, oh yeah, I forgot about eBay. I should go shop there. The branding thing really caught my attention by having eBay boxes. So long-winded way of saying, you know, what's the prognosis, the future of managed delivery.
Yeah, awesome question. So I would love to see more eBay boxes. As I've been decorating my office, I've been buying a lot of old eBay Anna, and I don't think it's a surprise that the people who have all these old eBay Live stuff and approachers are people that actually stock up on eBay shipping supplies. And so it's awesome to come home and not just see a bunch of boxes, but like they're all eBay boxes and they're wrapped in eBay tissue paper, eBay tape. But I know like that's a very, very, very core case on the site. I personally get a lot of satisfaction from taking Amazon boxes, wrapping and making around it. Like, they're losing money on shipping supplies, and I just have to put a tape on to get my logo. Like, that's pretty good. But I agree with you. When you look at the volume that we're selling, and you see all the iconic photos at Christmas and Cyber Five, and you see the hand cart and the UPS hand cart, you see the Walmart logos and the Target dots, and obviously Amazon swoosh on there. All the ones that don't have logos, like most of those are probably eBay, and we just don't get credit for it. And so I think that's something that I would love to aspire towards. Like, obviously, we have shipping supplies you can get, but you actually touched on something really important, which is the path we were headed down was too much on the how do we compete with Amazon on 2-day, next day shipping? How are we going to build multiple fulfillment centers? I mean, that's crazy. Amazon is billions and billions of dollars into that. And the problem is, even if we could do it, they wouldn't let us. Because there's two things that Amazon absolutely has at the core of their business. One, their cloud business. And so they will fight to the bitter end on Google and Microsoft and Alibaba. And then fulfillment. Their secret is not a retailer. Like, what allowed Walmart to win for the first 50 years was their supply chain. Amazon has a better supply chain. And so we're not going to build 3 fulfillment centers and then suddenly threaten Amazon to offer lower cost fulfillment for sellers. Like, that's crazy. And I don't think that's a good use of our dollars. But the second part of your statement, I also agree with. I do think there's value in the folks in this room and eBay's broader seller base not having to worry about things. Like, some people love outbound and reverse logistics. Most sellers I've talked to, they love the what, like, oh, I went and sourced this product and this is cool and here's my margin. And then, like, shipping it, okay, fine. They've got no problem. I'm like, oh, some of these are returned. Like, what a pain in the butt. Like, I don't really want to do that. And so in the next 12 or 24 months, I don't think you're going to be hearing us talking about building fulfillment centers or anything like that. I do, in the back of my mind, think that there is a solution for us that probably ties into what I said earlier around how does eBay actually have different retail standards? You have to have at least 3 nodes, 3 physical locations to cover the U.S. and 2-day shipping. And really, to do it, you need to have 5. How many of you in the room are like deep skew and have like more than 5 of the same thing in order to get it mirrored across the country? Like, it starts to become a bit problematic. But actually, you can stick one facility anywhere vertically in the middle and cover the entire country in 5 business day shipping. And so suddenly, like, on what dimension are we actually positioning ourselves? Like, are we trying to beat Amazon on same day shipping? Walmart on next day shipping? Probably not. If the answer is we just cover the spectrum of value, we have awesome selection you can't find anywhere else, we've got price points you can't be beat, then, well, okay, great. You know, that's no different than you want to save 10% on your groceries, go to Walmart. You want to get it right now, then by all means, like, drive down the street, go into the Walgreens or CVS. They've got stuff in there. It's not cheaper. It's just convenient. And so I think there is a way for eBay to help our sellers on the fulfillment topics, but it will be building out a solution that works for what our business is, not trying to copy someone else who's 15 years ahead of us.
I'm Diane. So I've been a 20-year seller on eBay. Love it. I have a real problem with the new return situation. I've got actually 3 pages of notes for you. I feel like I get blackmailed with feedback. People leave positive feedback, and then after a month, they have the most ridiculous reasons for it doesn't have an energy I like, or I change my mind. I feel like sellers aren't protected. I think we used to feel more protected now. I think with collectibles and vintage items, Christy has vintage clothing, people buy these things, and if we don't, eBay agrees to a return without even checking with us. And I feel like we're being held hostage with that.
I totally agree. Today, we now have 5 return policies on eBay. Walmart only sells new stuff, has 21 return policies. Why? Because when you want to return a hard drive, it's very different than when you want to return clothing. And both of those are different than when you want to return food items. And then there's another 18 examples of reasons why return policies have to be different. And so if Walmart can have 21 return policies when you're only selling new, how can 5 work for eBay with the sheer range of everything we sell? It just makes no sense. And so if you are selling things, like today's example of TVs, gaming monitors. We've got large electronics sellers on eBay that sell great inventory. But the customer expectation is you open it up and the LCD screen is cracked. doesn't matter if you're damaged in shipping or the buyer put their thumb into it and they opened it. Like, the retail expectation is there's kind of no question that that's returned. And that's not the same thing as selling a awesome handbag, a vintage wedding dress, and then people having to worry that they need to like stalk their buyers on Facebook to see if they wore it to a wedding and then did a return 28 days later and then use that as evidence with CS for, like, that's crazy. Like, yeah, you want to buy a used handbag? No returns. Like, one of the challenges you run into is nefarious sellers use lack of returns as a means of trying to hide behind ripping off buyers. But if we kind of go back to some of the fundamental principles that eBay is founded on, like, people are basically good, I don't think our policies reflect that right now. I don't think they reflect all the diversity of the businesses. And so at times we become so obsessed with trying to like catch the small percent of people that are causing problems, we actually then make it hard on everybody. I want to figure out how we actually have, I don't know if it's 20 return policies, it's probably not 200, but how do we figure out what actually reflects the diversity of all the inventory on eBay's platform, set the expectations correctly for the buyer, they can choose to buy it or not knowing that information. I think at times we have edged too far into somebody's at fault, but it's not us. I think eBay collects billions of dollars a year in fees, and there's things that we should just be paying for when we have no evidence to suggest that the buyer or the seller has a track record of things going wrong. Because guess what? Sometimes nobody makes a mistake because something goes wrong. But I think we've made it harder on everybody by putting in place policies that allow no questions asked returns on things where nobody else in that specific category or inventory type is having a return policy that is that generous. It just doesn't make sense to me.
My question, though, I was going to ask you, what are your intentions of bringing younger people in and using, like, changing our interface and making it into, you know, into the 2000s versus the late 90s? I love the 90s. I'm a product of the 80s and 90s, but it's not fun.
eBay last got a major visual refresh probably in 2015.
Yeah, it was the brand, the new logo. Yeah.
And your feedback is actually pretty common. It has nothing to do with the inventory, the pricing, the return policies. People just show up and like, oh, this would be cool on a retro t-shirt, but it feels a little dated. My daughter's 12, and I've been trying to like, she's like, oh, kind of like I download, you know, app, blank on it, app XYZ, and like, what about like eBay? She's like, eBay's for like old people. I'm like, wow, like it's real. The good news is our chief product officer is on that problem. He has not done the grand unveil yet of what the new design will look like. His exact words for last week was, I don't want to show it to you because you're going to love it so much. You're going to tell me to stop doing everything else and build this immediately. And we have important things to fix this year. What I can tell you, though, he's a very pragmatic product leader. And this won't be some sort of, you know, like, vision-y aspiration. Here is how eBay is going to, like, reinvent human interaction design. There's just some pragmatic things we can do around usability, color scheme, interaction, design elements. We've got calls to action that are below the fold. Like, we're just making customers do too much work. So they're on it. It's not going to come this year. Most of the focus for this year that isn't payments is on actually just trying to clean up a lot of these, like, nagging things that I talked about around vacation settings and multi-user access and shipping, delivery, estimate, inconsistencies, like all these sort of like NAT type issues that are on the side, but definitely the design is going to get addressed. To answer your other question, part of it is we had this like crazy obsession with millennial fashionistas. We're going to go and like win the millennial fashionistas. We're going to have all this apparel, but we were trying to sort of be what we weren't. And what that customer base was looking for, we were not structurally set up best to attract. And one of the funny things that I tell people is, you know the number two brand in America for millennials right now? Walmart. Was that true 10 years ago? Nope. What changed? Millennials got married, had kids, moved to the suburbs, bought an SUV, and suddenly getting 10% off on groceries, pretty good deal. And so being comfortable and confident who you are means you're going to deliver an amazing experience for customers. And then as people move through different life stages, then they start becoming your customers. And so I don't think right now we have a strong value prop on many dimensions for millennials. Gen Z is very different. Many of the attributes that Gen Z are looking for, we're actually perfectly positioned for. We just haven't been talking about it, which is why we have all these competitors nipping at our heels. Gen Z loves what we would call used, which has so many negative connotations. All of a sudden you talk about like reuse, not buying new, being able to be like unique, authentic, and different. Like, that's awesome. I'm shocked. My 12-year-old daughter, like, they love going to Goodwill with her friends to find, like, stuff that's, like, different and distinct. And that isn't just, like, a household of one. I mean, I can't even get my daughter to shop eBay yet. And the traits that we're seeing in the broader Gen Z research actually has, I think, trends moving in our favor. But we have to design refresh. And then we have to make sure that the experience that all of you are able to deliver, you actually want to keep selling those categories and do it properly. But I think the demographics are actually going to move back in our favor. And but that's part of playing the long game. Like, it's going to take us some time to get these things addressed. But the demographics one is not one that worries me.
I have two retail consignment stores in Los Altos, and I talk to my customers about buying on eBay, but they're afraid to shop on eBay because of the fakes. So I don't know what eBay is going to do. I love eBay. I want eBay to be the best-selling platform in the world. I believe in eBay. I support the sellers, and so I don't know what you guys can do to help.
Which categories do you sell in, like handbags?
Designer jewelry, designer handbags, clothes, anything a woman would love.
So those are awesome examples. With the technology that's out there now, there's no reason that counterfeits, fakes, need to be on eBay or any other marketplace. I obviously can't share with you the things we haven't announced or not doing yet, but what you are talking about is an exceptional source of passion for me. Whether you're talking about sports cards, handbags, watches, sneakers, comics, all of these things, they can all be authenticated. And they can be authenticated in person. They can be authenticated with technology. We've been running tests in different categories where just using what you can do with image detection, we've been able to start removing these fakes and counterfeits. I assure you, we have no incentive to let those things stay. I think the general area was Wild West enough over the last N number of years that nobody really had to make progress in there. And that's not where the customer expectation is going. And unlike what we did with return policies, where we said, oh, the customer expectation is evolving, so now it's your problem. This one is our problem. Like, we can fix it. And it comes down to using technology to actually look at these things on certain higher priced items or risky items that are prone to counterfeits. We can get in the middle of that transaction and actually make sure before it goes out that it is real. And then, by the way, you can do the same thing on the way back, which is make sure that what you're getting back is actually what you sent out. And so you can't do that on a $10 item. But you start talking about a $2,000 dress, a $600 hand, like, okay, there's enough value at stake there that it's worth taking the time to do those things. And so, again, nothing that I can say right now that 3 months from today, if we were to come back in this room, you'd be able to have a big smile on your face and say, oh, you fixed it. That's awesome. But what I can tell you is, like, what you're describing 100% has been heard and we are working on it. I just don't know when it's coming. So thank you. Hopefully this was interesting. If there's anything I didn't cover to answer questions, shoot me an email. It's just jordan@ebay.com. It's pretty straightforward. Thank you for having me here to speak tonight.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
That was Jordan Sweetnam, eBay's Senior Vice President and General Manager, Markets America.
And with that, we close out another episode of the eBay for Business podcast. You know, that was fun, Alan, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Good to be back. We do know how to have fun.
Yes, we do.
And if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, make sure you call us on 888-723-4630.
Yes, that's 888-723-4630. Probably the most underused number in the world. Call that hotline any time of day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment and we just might put it on the air.
Please call us.
Please.
But if you're not a call on the phone kind of person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And don't forget to check out our seller events page on community. It's under community events. You can find a local eBay seller meetup. Just visit www.ebay.com/meetups. We should change that URL.
We should.
To events. And if there isn't a meetup scheduled or an event scheduled in your metro area, well, maybe you can consider moving, or probably less of a hassle just to start your own local seller event. I'd do it.
I would.
Yeah.
Great way to connect with your local community.
Absolutely.
Sure. Talk about eBay. Have some kvetches.
Kvetches.
Who doesn't want that?
We don't want to lose the kvetches.
Never. Love them things. And if you want to ask eBay staff some questions, well, come on over and join our weekly chat on the community. It starts every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific. Just go to ebay.com/community chat.
Special thanks this week to our correspondent, Jen Deal, for the great report she did on Seller Update. And of course, our favorite co-host, he's back, Alan Aisbit.
Thanks for having me back.
This is your host, Griff. Join us on our next episode where we'll talk in depth to eBay sellers' rally routes from the eBay Upfront in Tampa, Florida.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.